Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, a project of the Federalist Society for Law and Public Policy Studies. Our contributors join us from around the country to bring you expert commentary on U.S. Supreme Court cases as they are argued and the decisions are issued. The Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions are those of the speaker.
Hello, and welcome to SCOTUS Cast. I'm your host, Kyle Hammernis, on behalf of the Faculty Division of the Federalist Society. We are here today to discuss DeVilliers versus Texas, in which the Supreme Court issued a 9-0 decision on April 16th, 2024. It is my honor to introduce our guests today, Professor Ilya Somin. Professor Somin is a professor of law at George Mason University Antonin Scalia Law School, and he is the B. Kenneth Simon Chair in Constitutional Studies at the Cato Institute. Professor Somin also filed an amicus brief in this case on behalf of the Cato Institute and himself. And with that, I'd like to turn things over to our guest to discuss the overview of the case and the court's decision.
My name is Ilya Somin. I'm a law professor, and I also filed an amicus brief in this case on behalf of myself and the Cato Institute, supporting the property owner. What I'm going to do is going to briefly explain what the case is about and what the court decided in a 9-0 decision that was relatively narrow. So this case started because Richard DeVilliers, who's a farmer in Texas, plus a number of other property owners, their land was flooded by the state as part of a public works project, and they sued, arguing that they had undergone a taking, which required just compensation under the Takings Clause of the Fifth Amendment. And there is, in fact, a good deal of precedent going back all the way to the 19th century, which says that if the government deliberately damages or destroys your property, that qualifies as a taking, including if they flood your property. As in this instance, originally DeVilliers and the others filed their cases in state court. However, the state of Texas removed the case to federal court under a provision which allows removal in a situation where a federal district court would have had original jurisdiction, quote unquote. But once they got to federal court, the state then tried to pull a catch-22. They said, aha, now that we've gotten it into federal court, we can dismiss it on the grounds that the takings clause is not self-executing. That is, that you can't file a case against the state government for violating the takings clause unless Congress or the state government has passed legislation empowering you to do so. The district court ruled against the state, I think correctly, on the grounds that the takings clause is in fact self-executing, that you can in fact sue a state for violating your rights under the takings clause, even if there's not specific authorizing legislation. The Fifth Circuit then, in a very cursory opinion that's literally just a few lines long, it dismissed the case, on the grounds that, that there's not a, that there's not a basis for a lawsuit in a federal court, at least implicitly endorsing the idea that the clause is not self-executing. And then the case got to the Supreme Court, thanks in part to the efforts of the Institute for Justice, a public interest law firm which supports property rights, and took up the case. And when the Supreme Court granted cert on the case, they said this is going to be about whether the takings clause is in fact self-executing or not, and that would be the issue that they were going to address. And I think everybody thought, including myself, that they were going to ultimately address that issue in one way or another. And I think had they addressed it, they should have said that this is in fact self-executing because the text of the Fifth Amendment specifically does not require any kind of additional legislation. And moreover, even if you think the payment of damages remedies in general requires a federal statute to authorize here, the remedy of just compensation is specifically written into the Constitution. So there's no doubt that this is a constitutional requirement, and it just wouldn't make any sense for either the state or the federal government to in effect be able to nullify this simply because there isn't additional legislation, authorizing this. There's just no good reason to do that, and no evidence that the original meaning, requires this, nor is there any precedent requiring it. Certainly, and then to make it even more egregious, Texas here essentially took the case out of state court and into federal court, and then tried to dismiss. So under this approach, it's not just that there wouldn't be a remedy in federal court, there wouldn't be a remedy in state court either, because anytime anybody filed a takings claim against Texas or another state that tried to pull the same trick in state court, that Texas could just remove it to federal court and then have a catch-22 where the very fact that they remove it to federal court enables them to get rid of the case. The Supreme Court in the 2019 case of Nick versus Township of Scott had specifically ruled against the idea of a catch-22. These are the words of the court, not my words, where if you bring a case into state court under some previous decisions, then that may prevent you from ever being able to bring the case in a federal court and under takings clause. And here it's even worse than that, because under this ruling by the Fifth Circuit, you couldn't even bring the case in state court, because once you brought it in state court, Texas could remove it, or another state could remove it and then get it dismissed in the federal court. I expect, and others expect, that the Supreme Court would rule on those issues. But what actually happened is that in the oral argument, the Texas Solicitor General representing the state of Texas conceded that there actually is a state law cause of action on, not only under the state takings clause in the Texas Constitution, but also under the federal takings clause. So the Supreme Court, in an opinion by Justice Clarence Thomas, they said, we don't even need to decide the issue of whether the takings clause is self-executing or not. We can save that for another day, because there is this Texas cause of action, so this case could just be brought under state court under the state law cause of action. The Supreme Court was not very clear on the issue of exactly what would then happen to the case, whether it would then be returned to the federal district court to continue there, or whether it would then have to be refiled in Texas state court, and if so, whether Texas could then try to remove it again. However, in discussing the issue and looking at it, it looks like the expectation is that this will return to federal court. And because the Supreme Court vacated the Fifth Circuit decision dismissing the case, it can now proceed in federal court. The substantive issue that it will proceed about will be the federal takings clause, as well as the Texas state takings clause. But presumably, Texas will not be able to again dismiss the case on the grounds that there is no cause of action, because technically they will proceed under a state cause of action for a federal right. Though I wish the court had been more clear on this, they did not decide the important issue of self-execution. So that might arise again in the future if there is a state that does not allow a state cause of action, or does not concede that they do, as happened in this case in the Supreme Court oral argument. Because of the sort of narrow nature of the Supreme Court's decision and some ambiguities there, ironically, both sides have tried to claim victory in the aftermath. But I think it is very obvious that on the issue that was actually decided, namely whether this particular case will get to proceed, I think Texas pretty obviously lost. That is what tech if you look at Texas's briefs, what they were trying to do was get the Fifth Circuit decision affirmed, thereby affirming the dismissal of the case against the state, and that decision was vacated. You don't have to take my word for that. You can look right in the Supreme Court opinion, where at the end they say the Court of Appeal decision is vacated. That reinstates the district court decision, allowing the case to go forward. Technically, it may even reinstate the district court decision that says that this is self-executing, though obviously that decision, like other district court decisions, is not binding precedent. So this case can proceed. And at least for the moment, it seems like Texas will not be able to get it dismissed on this procedural ground, though perhaps they can win it later on a substantive ground, or perhaps they can somehow find a way to bring back sort of these procedural issues somehow. I'm not completely sure about that. It seems unlikely, but the Supreme Court's decision is sufficiently vague that it's not completely clear on this. So when Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton claims that he actually won the case, it seemed to me very obvious that he did not. It might be very reasonable, more reasonable for him to say, well, we didn't lose as badly as we could have lost. If he issued a press release to that effect, that would have been accurate, because the court could have ruled on the issue of self-execution and given them a more decisive loss on that question. They instead said, we're not ruling on that. On the other hand, They are letting the case proceed. Indeed, the whole reason why they didn't rule on the issue of self-execution is that they decided that the case can proceed anyway, even aside from that issue. So, you know, when you have a decision where it says the case against you can proceed, even though your whole argument was that the Supreme Court should affirm the lower court decision, which says that it can't proceed, that looks like a loss to me, even though obviously it's not quite as bad a loss as it could have been. So it's common for politicians to say deceptive statements, but this goes beyond even the usual practices in that I can't think of another case where a state attorney general actually lost in the Supreme Court, and he instead tries to claim, you know, that he won, which he obviously didn't. But the issue of self-execution remains potentially for the future. There's a little bit of ambiguity about how this case will proceed, though I think the most likely scenario is that it will just continue in federal district court. That court will make a ruling of some sort on the merits. It may be appealed to the Fifth Circuit. Maybe the Fifth Circuit could again try to dismiss on jurisdictional grounds at that point, but it will be difficult for them to do so. So I think the ultimate implication, at least for the moment, we have avoided a situation where a state could create a kind of catch-22 under which they take the position that it's impossible to sue them in federal court for a takings violation, but if you sue them in state court, they can remove the case to federal court and then get it dismissed. Hopefully, the recent Supreme Court decision will put an end to those kind of shenanigans, though it's not completely clear as to what the implications are, because unfortunately, they didn't say so in so many words. But I think at the very least, there's a suggestion here that, you know, that they will not allow that, especially if you combine that with the previous Nick case, which discusses, which said that it's an impermissible catch-22, even to have a situation where going to state court permanently bars you from federal court, and you're required to go to state court first, as was true under the Williamson County case in 1985, which the Nick case overruled. So I think this is a very narrow decision, but one that avoids what would have been a very bad decision had it gone the other way. But it does leave the issue of self-execution for a possible you know, future Supreme Court decision. I think when and if the Supreme Court reaches that issue, it should rule that the takings clause is self-executing. Indeed, I think almost all constitutional rights are presumptively self-executing, but in the case of the takings clause, it's even more clear than for many others. And I'll stop there, but I'll be happy to answer any questions that, you might have.
Well, thank you so much, Professor, for that overview and the discussion about the decision. As a person who filed an amicus brief, do you think that the court missed an opportunity in discussing the self-execution?
Well, our brief was partly about Catch-22 and partly about self-execution more generally. I think the court could have simply said, you know, we resolved this case on two different grounds. A, it is there is self-execution, and B, in this case, even if there were not, you know, there is this alternative way of proceeding, and there is certainly the precedent for the Supreme Court deciding cases on two different grounds simultaneously. That's not, you know, that's not forbidden, but they also certainly had a discretion to do what they did, which is resolve it the immediate issue on this very narrow ground. Though even that, I would have preferred that they be a bit clearer on exactly what they're doing. But it does seem to me, in talking with participants in the case and what seems likely to happen, that the case, the practical implication is this case will be back in federal district court. It's not going to state court. And once back in federal district court, it will be at the very least very difficult for Texas to try to once again pull off the, you know, the shenanigan of trying to get it dismissed on the grounds that there is no, you know, that there is no proper jurisdiction.
Another question for you, Professor. Do you think that when the case goes back to the lower courts, they will rule in favor of Texas and say that it is not self-executing?
The Supreme Court has said that you don't need to rule on self-execution because here you can bring the case, perhaps even in federal court, even without it being self-executing, because you can in effect use this Texas cause of action to bring a federal constitutional claim. Therefore, you know, the district court and the Fifth Circuit presumably would not need to rule on self-execution in West Texas tries to find some way to nonetheless try to get this case out of federal court. And it is a little bit screwy because it's not completely clear that this case could have, under the reasoning of the federal Supreme Court just now, it's not completely clear that this case could have been filed in federal district court to begin with. However, Texas has now put it into federal court, and it looks like it's not going to be kicked back out to state court. And now that it is in federal court, it seems like under the Supreme Court's decision, it can proceed under this Texas cause of action procedurally, but it's for a federal substantive claim, the takings clause claim. So I think it's hard to be 100% sure about this because of some of the ambiguities in the Supreme Court decision, but I think what will likely happen is the district court will rule on the substance of the claim, that is, whether or not this flooding was a violation of the takings clause. That might then be subject to an appeal to the Fifth Circuit, but it will be difficult or impossible probably for Texas to try to just get this case kicked out on procedural grounds again, because it is going to be back in the district, in the federal district court, and Texas essentially, got out of a worse defeat in the federal Supreme Court by conceding that you can file this case under a Texas cause of action, and the federal district court at this point at least presumably has jurisdiction over that Texas cause of action, so it will not be easy for Texas to weasel out of this, but it's possible there's some procedural angle I'm somehow missing here, but my expectation at this point is that the most likely scenario is the case will go to the merits. The district court will have to decide whether there was a taking or not, and then the Fifth Circuit could potentially review that determination.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUSCast. SCOTUSCast is a project of the Federalist Society, a not-for-profit educational organization of conservative and libertarian law students, law professors, and lawyers. Founded upon the principles that the state exists to preserve freedom, that the separation of governmental powers is essential to our Constitution, and that it is emphatically the province and duty of the judiciary to say what the law is, not what it should be. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast series, including SCOTUSCast and Practice Group Podcasts, on iTunes or Google Play. For an archive of past podcasts, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at fedsoc.org/multimedia. That's fedsoc.org/multimedia.
This has been a FedSoc audio production.